In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. A couple of announcements. For those of you who typically go to the first Sunday breakfast, we won't have them for the Lenten season for the sake of the penitential season. We will, however, have two in-house fish fries for the parishioners, not for the public. That will be on the first Friday after the first Sunday, so after March 6th, that first Friday, and then the Friday before Good Friday. And so therefore these fish fries will start at 6, and they'll be set up in the context of like the potlucks, where everything will be out for the faithful to partake, and there will be no charge to the parishioners. Also, part of the reason the cafeteria won't be in use is because I'll be starting the instruction for those who wish to become Catholic on the first Sunday of Lent between the Masses, starting at 9:15 and ending before the 10 a.m. Mass. So anyone who wants to receive instruction or renew their awareness of the Catholic faith can attend. But ultimately, it's for those who want to come into the faith and wish to be baptized and become Catholic, receive all their sacraments at Easter Vigil. There's a note on that in the bulletin. There'll be a sign-up sheet after the Masses starting next week, so we have a ballpark figure about how many people attend the fish fries, so we don't overbuy. And as always, since some people like the fish, we'll order enough extra fish, so if you want to buy the boxes of fish for your own use, we'll take orders for that as well, since we get a better price at buying them than you would, especially since they give us a discount in what we buy as a church is tax exempt. With that being said, much can be relayed about this particular gospel with regards to what our Lord is teaching. Remember, Matthew's version of the Beatitudes is different than Luke's, and the Holy Spirit inspires the authors to put what they put for a reason. And so therefore, as Matthew is an apostle and was actually there, Luke was not there, and he gets his gospel from the other apostles, St. Paul, and of course the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so what he communicates is what the Holy Spirit desired for him to communicate. So his angle is a little bit different because of the reality of Luke writing his gospel for more of a Gentile audience, explaining things that Matthew wouldn't, knowing that he's writing his gospel, the first one to be written, that would be written with people who were Jews and understood everything he was saying. And so in this, we can draw out something with regards to the angle that Luke takes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit with regards to the Beatitudes. And certainly they are essentially the same, and both have the same ultimate reality that God is calling us, Christ is calling us to a much higher standard than God had initially called the Jews, because the Jews could never live up to it, because the old law was only there to stand in for the Messiah until the Messiah came. So therefore there was not enough grace for the Jewish faithful to actually achieve what they were being called to. This is why St. Paul speaks so profusely about liberation from the old law, and how the old law hinders instead of liberates. The Christ liberates. The law, the Ten Commandments that still stand, as our Lord said, I did not come to abolish the law but to fulfill it, are there to protect us, not to hinder us, as licentious slaves to passion in modern times would say. But the other emphasis that Saint Luke gives us is worthy of our consideration, because it's something we don't really think about with regards to our daily lives. And it's the reality of first our Lord saying, what you measure out will be measured out unto you. And then indicating how this applies when he says, if you only love those who love you, what credit is that for you? Even sinners do that. If you're only kind and good to those who are kind and good to you, what credit is that to you? Because, again, sinners do the same. So he's delineating the reality of what happens and how you go to hell versus how you go to heaven. Based on the way you act, based on what you measure out for others. And so it's easy for us to think that we can do this, but in reality it's harder than we might realize because we're not conscious of it. Now remember, nothing for us is really difficult with regards to living out the faith because of the grace God gives us. The difficulty is, grace builds on nature, so we have to have the will, the intent for the grace to be operative. And if your reflex action, which it is for all of us because of the fall from grace, is selfish, then your will and your intent are not directed towards selflessness. Which again is why God gave us vocations, vocation to the priesthood, the vocation to religious life, the vocation to marriage. They mandate self-sacrifice. They teach us how to do it. And they give us the graces to do it, but only if you and I intend it. And so on the small things, for those who aren't married, for those who are still young, and for those also in life, in their vocations in general, what you measure out is going to be measured out unto you. And the ultimate point is this: we cannot ever return evil for evil. Remember, evil by definition is the absence of good. So if someone does something that is not good, like being discourteous, we cannot, if we're truly followers of Christ, be discourteous in return. In general, there are points where righteous anger is appropriate, to be sure. And so the most common thing you will find if you pull yourself out and look at it objectively, the most common place where you're going to be judged with regards to how you do these things, because remember, it's what our Lord has said is true. If you can be trusted in the small things, you can be trusted in the larger things. So if you are doing evil in the small things, then you're going to end up doing it in the larger things. So think about the reality of traffic. Think about the reality that most people, when they're driving, are purely concupiscent. They believe, at least by their actions it would seem, that they are the only people on the road that matters. And therefore their aim is to get past you, around you, or make certain that you're out of their way. And they're often rude when you, who didn't intend anything, they come upon you and they're speeding, and then they get mad at you because you're driving the speed limit, and go around you and give you this one-finger salute. Your instinct is to return evil for evil, to give them a salute right back, or to curse them out, or to get angry and lecture them even though they cannot hear you. That's an example of what it is, returning evil for evil. Remember, evil is the absence of good. We always want to make evil think like, oh, that's a Dr. Doom or something. The evil character. No, evil is the absence of good. And every time we do something that is not good, it is evil. And so, if we return evil for evil, our Lord is very clear about this. Because it's easy for us to be nice to those who are nice to us. If someone driving down the road, you know, one of the things that I had to get used to here in the city, after spending so many years as a pastor in the country, is that when you're driving down those two-lane roads, everybody waves at you. And I was still in the habit when I came up to the city, and it's like people would look at me like I was crazy because I'm giving the little wave that was commonplace. It's easy to greet and to wave at someone when they wave back at you, or you wave at them first, or vice versa. But it's our instinct, if they give you the one-finger salute, to give them the one-finger salute back, or to give some kind of angry reaction. Well, this is why it's dangerous, because the Lord says, what you measure out will be measured out unto you. So in other words, when we return evil for evil, our Lord is saying, when it comes time for our seeking His mercy, He is going to be as merciless to us as we were to the other. He's going to be as merciless to us as we are to the other. So it makes it dangerous business to go with our first instinct, to get angry, to want to seek revenge, to get caught up in that momentum that often occurs when you're in traffic and you begin to think and act like everybody else around you, speeding, which of course is a sin, and then excusing yourself from the speeding because everybody else does it, as though two wrongs make a right. Or so because everybody else is sinning, then you should do it too. It doesn't work that way for those who claim to be the disciples of Christ. because the standard he sets is much higher, much higher. And so the key is to be aware of that in your daily life. In other words, all you need to do is think about in the present moment, and this is why the enemy tries to get us to either get caught up in our past sins and mistakes and spend our whole lives lamenting them, or to plan for a future that will never arrive because you and I can't live in the future. He doesn't want us to be aware of the present moment because God is the eternal I Am, the eternal presence. And so therefore, if you and I are tuned into the reality of the eternal presence, and we live in the presence of God day in and day out, then our minds are set on pleasing Him in the moment we live. So we have to think, and this is the reality of what is being communicated to us by the Christ. It's not a matter of our thinking, what is the best human reaction to this situation? We should be thinking, how did God deal with it? How does God deal with us? He rains down the rain. He showers the rain on the good and the evil. He gives blessings to the good and to the evil. And we're supposed to be imitating Him. And this is the whole point of the life of the second person of the Holy Trinity becoming one of us, to raise us up to a divine level, to make our reflex to be godlike, which is all good, all wise, all holy, because that's what God is, and we're striving for that same thing, instead of being fallen man, who is self-centered, who loves himself, who tends to create enemies where there don't need to be enemies, which for most people happens when you're driving down the road and speeding along with everyone else. So consider what our Lord is saying. Consider the high standard we're being called to. That's why Jesus says, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. In other words, be like God. And since it is a Christ who saved us, then therefore our lives are supposed to be oriented to that salvation. So therefore, if I think it through, would I want to return evil for evil if I understand that my mission is one to help save souls? Especially those of you who are out in the world, the laity. You're supposed to be the salt of the earth. You're supposed to be the light of the world. People are supposed to see the light of Christ in you. Salt not only adds taste, but salt preserves from corruption. And the laity are supposed to be preserving the world from corruption by bringing the grace and the goodness of Christ to the world. And if they're acting like God and seeking only the good for everyone, whether it be someone they love as well as someone who's made themselves an enemy, then ultimately people will see God, will come to understand God because of the goodness the faithful are doing, as our Lord said, that men will see the good that you do and give glory to God. It may not be that they appreciate it, and it may not be that you will ever see them appreciate it, but you cannot underestimate the grace that our Lord will use with you as His instrument. And you shouldn't even seek to want to see someone converted, because that can lead to you getting puffed up and thinking you can do it. You should be the instrument of God's and let God do the work. Let the Holy Spirit do the inspiring, the conversion. Yes, if it's a loved one and a family member, you definitely want to see it. But you don't necessarily go out there wanting to draw all men to yourself. You should draw them to Jesus Christ alone. And you should be detached from the situation so that you're pleasing God, not yourself. It is a high standard our Lord calls us to. There's no doubt about that. But He gives us the grace, the graces that are necessary to do it in our vocations and in our reception of the most blessed sacrament, charity Himself, and the inspired Word. He gives us all that we need. All we need to do is keep our hearts and minds intent upon it. In other words, will the good for everyone around you and make it happen, no matter how evil they might be, in return to you. Because as our Lord said, if you only are good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. If you only love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Sinners do that. And ultimately, that's the warning from Him who will be your just judge. You might think, I was nice to all the people I loved. therefore you should let me into heaven. And he's going to say those horrible words, Nacio, I do not know you. And it's a horror to think about. But if you're living for him, and you're indeed doing good, to be like God, who is all good, all wise, and all holy, the only one you can trust, everything changes for you. Then you have nothing to fear when you stand for the justice of Christ, because not only will you avoid sin yourself, but you'll avoid being an occasion to sin for others by returning evil for evil. Your choice is always to choose to be like God instead of like fallen man. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.